talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. I'd also like to wish you happy Labor Day weekend as well. Well, today's home theme song was House Party by Sam Hunt, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and also the Charleston Fall Home Show, which typically happens every August. And we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which typically happens every April. And I preface that by those two last events I mentioned by saying typically, because the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour in April was postponed and then ultimately canceled because of the C-19 virus. And then our August home show, the Charleston Fall Home Show, was scheduled to happen last weekend, and we had to cancel it again because of C-19 concerns. But the good news is we are hard at work planning our January home show, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and we've got a lot of exciting new announcements to make about that. We're going to be doing that very, very soon, but suffice to say that it's going to be one of our biggest and best home shows ever coming up in January 2021. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I do want to mention today's radio show. We have a new initiative that Charleston Home and Design Magazine launched this summer. It's called Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations Podcast, and it's a new podcast that we just launched this summer, and the podcast is there's an accompanying blog that goes along with it. The podcast and blog features Charleston's top builders and remodeling contractors. And we're going to be doing interviews with some of Charleston's top builders and remodeling contractors to get insights into all sorts of different topics, like choosing a builder, what separates the great builders from the good ones, the making selections for your home if it's new construction or remodeling, how many items must the homeowner specify before construction begins, buying building materials and builders' favorite go-to products and services, what the materials are and who the builders and why the builders buy from those particular local sources for materials here in Charleston. Lots and lots of great information, and we're going to be as of today, we have four different podcasts available for you to listen to. One is with Curtis Daniel Custom Homes. Another is Harper Construction. The third one is Stono Construction. And today you're going to hear an interview with Richard Jackson with Jackson Built Custom Homes on the radio show today. And then this podcast is also available on the Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensation podcast. So we'll be talking with Richard Jackson with Jackson Built Custom Homes. He's an award-winning custom home construction builder, and it's a great interview. Listen in today, and if you want to go back and listen to it, you can go to the iTunes store and listen to Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, brought to you by Charleston Home and Design Magazine for free. Those podcasts are free. So you're welcome to tune those in, and we're recording new interviews with different builders almost every week, and so you'll be able to check back in and be able to enjoy those as well. The other interview that's happening today in today's radio show is with John Shelton with Carolina Stain and Seal, and they've got a great program. Everyone has noticed some of the maybe unfinished fences and any kind of exterior wood that you might have around your house that maybe hasn't been stained or sealed, and that's something that Carolina Stain and Seal specializes in, and we'll have an interview with John Shelton talking about that and how important it is to stain and steel your seal your exterior wood projects, and in that way you lengthen the longevity that they will be able to last, and it's virtually. And make those parts of your house virtually no maintenance. So, but I did want to just go back and mention the Charleston Home and Design Show. It's going to be coming up in January. In the next week or two, we'll be making some big announcements about that. We haven't started sales yet for the Charleston Home and Design Show, but we will be starting that very, very soon. And stay tuned to Talking About a Home, and we'll have all the information for you. Joining us today is custom builder Richard Jackson with Jackson Built Custom Homes. How are you doing, Richard?
Good. Good morning.
Morning to you. Richard, take a moment and tell everyone about Jackson Built Custom Homes.
Well, Jackson Built Custom Homes started about 11 years ago. We moved from the Atlanta area 15 years ago and decided to start our own company. And we're a smaller custom builder. We do around 4 homes a year. And we kind of specialize in the personal touch of going through the process, designing and building a custom home. So it's a very one-on-one process.
Gotcha. Very good. And Jackson Built Custom Homes is an award-winning custom home construction company. As recently as 2019, Jackson Built Custom Homes won 4 Prism Awards in the categories of customer service, which I think that's something that you folks at Jackson Built Custom Homes are particularly proud of, right?
Absolutely. We pride ourselves on that.
Customer service is so important, and it's so easy. If you have a bad meal at a restaurant, it's so easy to take to the internet and say some bad stuff. So it's very, very easy for people to say bad stuff, but it's for them to say so many good things about Jackson Built Custom Homes. That's a great compliment.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. You hear a lot of bad stories in this industry, and the most important thing is taking care of the customer after close, and then from then on we pretty much don't ever not take a phone call. So it doesn't matter if it's 2 months, 2 years, 10 years, we always we'll take a phone call and at least stop by and talk to the client and see if they have a question about anything at any time. So that goes a long way, and so it's few and far between in this business, but it takes very little and it goes a long way. So
that's true.
And the Custom Service Award that Jackson Built Custom Homes was awarded is based on online reviews from customers posted on websites like Houzz and Google and Guild Quality. And Guild Quality, folks may not be completely familiar with that. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, Guild Quality is a service that sends out surveys periodically, and they're scheduled at certain times, you know, during construction and after construction, and it gives us a good reference of how well we're doing and if there are any issues that a customer has or if we need to address anything. But it's one of the most important surveys that we do, and to be on the top every time is pretty rewarding for our team.
It's kind of like the J.D. Powers, right, with the people
Correct.
Are more familiar with when, you see an ad for a car commercial or something like that. They have those awards, J.D. Powers. And so they're a third party organization that basically is talking to former customers of builders and doing that in a way where, they're getting accurate information about the experience that homeowner had with a particular builder. Is that about right?
That's correct. That is correct. Absolutely.
Good deal. And Jackson Built Custom Homes also won 3 awards in 2019 in the single family home category. One was in the $1 million to $1.25 million range. And that was a home that Jackson built in Carolina Park in Mount Pleasant.
Correct.
Yep. And that was a classic farmhouse with more than 3,000 square feet of living space and plenty of modern day flair. Then go ahead, Richard, if you wanted to mention.
No, go ahead.
The second award in the $1.5 million to $1.75 million, that's about a 4,000 square foot Daniel Island home with classic Southern architecture and plenty of curb appeal. Does that one ring a bell to you?
Yeah, that was a great house. A wonderful couple, designed it from the start.
Good deal. And then the other award was in the $3.25 million to $3.5 million range, and that was for a 5,000 square foot waterfront home with a private dock, also on Daniel Island.
Yes, they're a wonderful couple from Michigan, and we were very proud of that one, and beautiful views out of the Wando River.
Gotcha. Well, today we're going to ask you about something that's very, very important, and which is how to choose a builder, how to choose that builder who's going to be responsible for constructing your dream home. And a lot of people rush the process. I remember a builder a long time ago telling me that a lot of people spend more time researching the purchase of a vehicle than they do researching a builder that they're going to hire to build their most their biggest investment, right?
Yes, it's their single biggest investment that they do. So I think it's extremely important to interview builders and really get a good feel for their business model and their team. I think that's the most important thing, because it is a long experience. I mean, you're looking at 12 to 18 months at least to design from scratch architectural plans and then to complete a home. So it's a long partnership. So you want to make sure, number one, that you feel comfortable with that team and you get along, and it's somebody that you can rely on and trust through the whole process. So.
Well, what separates how can someone looking to hire a builder, how can they separate the great builders from the good ones?
Well, you want to look at, number one, you mentioned it earlier, is the awards. That's the most important part, that they're a member of the Charleston Home Builder Association. That's a association that is has all the reputable builders in the Charleston area. So that's the second most important. And third, you just want to make sure that it's a group that focuses on quality and customer service and attention to detail. So, in this business, it's gotten even more divided, where there's more production or track home builders and custom, and that middle line is few and far between. It's that gap is widening, at least what we see. So, you know, you want to make sure that you're with a custom builder. It's not somebody that's doing volume, and it's low volume, and it's high customer service, that you can enjoy the experience, you want to have a good time doing it. It shouldn't be stressful. So it's our job to make it less stressful.
And just for some of our listeners that may not be aware, a volume builder is they're usually national builders that are in several different markets, and they will very oftentimes buy an entire neighborhood, and all of their homes will be built by that particular volume builder, which is kind of why they call them volume builders. And versus a custom builder, and the experience is quite different, right?
Very much so. And it's not that they don't do a wonderful job, but, you know, they're going to have, to a certain extent, you know, they're going to be high volume, so there's only so many bodies that can manage that. So there are going to be things that are overlooked and missed, but they still do a wonderful job. You're going to be limited on products and, you know, changes, you know, that's going to be discouraged. So we encourage things like that in different products. So it's something that we're open to and invite, you know, ideas and changes for our clients. So a little different experience.
Can you think of a customer of yours who really did their due diligence and before hiring Jackson Built Custom Homes, how did they research your company and to ultimately make that decision to hire you?
You know, that's funny you mentioned that. It's really I would say that it's you're following up with past clients, but it's rare that they do that. Most of it's word of mouth with our clients. So, and it's, you know, that's kind of how we're fortunate to get the clients that we're due, because those people that, you know, rely on other people, word of mouth and trust, and that's kind of the basis of our business model. So, you know, that's usually how it happens. It's rare that it's in other ways.
So in other words, you're invited over to a Christmas get together or something like that, and you're admiring your neighbor's beautiful home, and you get to talking about who built the home, and they talk about Jackson Built Custom Homes, and you feel like if they did such a great job with these friends of mine, certainly they'll do a great job with me.
Yeah, absolutely, and that you hit around the head. That's exactly it. And oftentimes we'll have you know, get-togethers for new homeowners and have the neighbors come by, and so that is one way that we kind of get everybody involved and talking. But that is absolutely it. It's, you know, it's you know, years of building a brand, and so that you know, when they mention our company name, they know what they're getting too. So that's another big part of it.
Gotcha. Let's talk about what sets Jackson Built Custom Homes apart. Part of that is are some of the practices and systems of how you help a homeowner through the process of building that custom home. And so what is the Jackson Built Custom Home process?
Well, you know, we pride ourselves on the team approach, where it's, you know, we say start to finish, and that's designing the house together and building it. So we start by meeting with our client and really figuring out what they're looking for, what style they're looking for, and then we help them with the architect that we're going to use as a part of our team. So it's our job to kind of really feel them out. Architects all kind of lean to a certain lane. And so, you can pick one, and then they may have trouble going to this lane over here. So, you know, it's our job is to kind of narrow it down for them, and then bring them in and help them interview them, or if they do it on their own. But that I think that's a big part of it. And just like choosing a builder, it's as important choosing an architect. But that's the start. And someone that we trust, you know, we use all local architects, and that's something that is extremely important in the Charleston area, knowing the FEMA requirements and things like that. But you know, going through the whole process with them and the team approach allows us to, you know, kind of push and pull and say, you know, suggest things and to the architect and say, hey, if we do it this way, this is an advantage, or we do it this way, or and we're also keeping in mind their budget. So one of the hardest things you hear about in designing a house, if people go out on their own, is that the architects, we all want it to look good, but we also kind of, they forget about budgets. And so it's our job is to keep that budget in mind as we're designing the house. So a 4,000 square foot house can be built, you know, very, very differently in price point, so depending on what the budget is. So it's our job through the whole process to keep them on point. And also, as we're working through those plans, thinking about what we're going to be putting in it. And so we actually, as we get towards the end, we'll actually walk through the house, and instead of just assigning allowances for things, we actually walk through and almost pre-select everything, just so that we can have an idea, a benchmark. It's not necessarily pre-selected, but a benchmark, so that we know, is it $50,000 lighting or is it $30,000 lighting? So that's a big benefit. We design the cabinets with the cabinet company. We go ahead and do that. So when we're drafting the contract with the price points and allowances or selections, we know exactly where we are, and that minimizes any changes. So obviously it's up to the client if they choose to change things and or modify things, and that happens often, but we try to minimize that. That's the stories you hear that upset people when you're, you know, $100,000 off on a cabinet order, or $50,000 off on tile or something like that. That's where it goes downhill. So again, it goes back to enjoying the process and having a good time and making it less stressful for the client.
Right. And I was going to ask you, it's not uncommon for there to be a little bit of a disconnect sometimes between what the architect draws and what you are tasked with building, putting together. And I just, you know, the example I sometimes use is when we built a custom home 11 years ago, the architect spec'd plywood and for the subfloor, and our builder came back and said, could we use Advantech because of it's made specifically for flooring versus plywood and less squeak and stuff like that. And how does Jackson Built Custom Homes kind of help the homeowner with those kinds of things?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's lots of things that we'll suggest to the process, and it's our job is to not let people go down the wrong path. So if there's areas, if we're on a budget and we're trying to move money around, if there's areas that we feel that could be saved, we can. There's other areas where we'll say that's not an area for your price point of home. That's not an area to go to. So we do help you through that process and suggesting new things. There's a lot of new products out there. So we will do suggestions through the entire build or the design of the house. And so we help them with if this and not that kind of thing, and pricing things out. So
the value engineering, they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the very first meeting that Jackson Built Custom Homes typically has with a client, because I read this on your website and it really hit home, because it says on your website, jacksonbuilthomes.com, during our first meeting, you'll share with us your wish list, collected images, pragmatic needs, even your pet peeves of homes past, and we'll begin creating spaces and determining the flow between them. And that's really true. I mean, people, they have accumulated a wish list of things that they want in this dream home or forever home, that a lot of times for someone who is planning to stay in that home the rest of their lives. What's that first meeting like with Jackson Built Custom Homes?
Yeah, that's probably the most exciting meeting. We just had one yesterday with a new client. It's really to get an idea of their expectation, what they're wanting, and you had already mentioned it, that we talk a lot about older homes, what you lived in, what you liked and what you didn't like. So it kind of goes back to, you know, people often ask, do we need an architect or not, or should we hire them or go buy a set of plans? And so this is one area where money's well spent. We're designing it together and looking at all those elements that work for you and how it flows and how you're going to live, how you're going to come up into the house, how many kids do you have, all of those factors come into play. And oftentimes that kind of goes over the head of some folks. And so I think to really get a good feel for what type of house you're wanting and the flow of it. Because again, going back to architects, you know, there also the flow, there's certain ways that architects design the flow. So that can be affected even if you're saying one thing and architect's wrong another. So how they want it to live is one of the most important things, but it is one of the most exciting times because, you know, it's up to them. They're guiding the experience of telling us how they want it to lay out. So very important meeting.
Right. Right. And then once the construction begins, to ensure the continuity and ease during the build, Jackson Built Custom Homes has a full-time design coordinator to help the homeowners guide them through the process of selecting interior and exterior materials.
We do, and we bring Allison on back to our team approach. When we're about three-fourths of the way through designing plans, we will bring her into the meetings and then start talking about fit and finishes, and so layouts of cabinets. We'll bring the cabinet company in as well. So that kind of helps us fine-tune everything, and so instead of waiting to the very, very end, but she is extremely important in our business and still goes to all of the meetings with our clients to different places, such as, you know, the Granite Supply House. So, you know, all of those businesses and retail places like the plumbing supply house, they all have salespeople there, but they don't know what you did last week with the lighting or the hardwood. So to make it all work together, Allison does go with them on every appointment. So that kind of is their wingman in a sense that, you know, you've got someone there representing you and kind of making you feel comfortable to make it all work together.
That is such a valuable part of building a home because oftentimes homeowners do not have an interior designer or a design professional involved in the process, and they will oftentimes kind of lean on the design professionals in a particular showroom. So, you know, you might be at a tile store. They start hitting up the design consultant at the tile store for advice on, you know, lighting or cabinetry or will this go with this? And, you know, unfortunately that tile design consultant doesn't have, you know, an overall view of the whole project. That's just not a good way to go. Having that, a full-time design professional at Jackson Built Custom Homes to guide you through the process, boy, that's, I can't tell you how I'm sure pleased your clients are with that.
Oh, absolutely. And oftentimes they close and they, you know, they say, well, Allison, we're not going to talk anymore. We're just going to call you every week just because we enjoy being with you. But it is very important. I think it's probably one of the most important elements. And a lot of builders subcontract that out, which is fine. But you don't have somebody really invested in the project as much. So their job is, you know, it's hourly. They're getting paid hourly. So it's, you know, in and out. They're going to go to that plumbing meeting, and then they're done. And then their job is over. So a little different, but, you know, having someone on staff and a part of the team, a part of the build, and Allison also, you know, is part project manager, goes out and is often on site telling us to adjust something or move something, so to make sure that it's exactly where she had described to the customer. So
At Jackson Built Custom Homes, what kinds of contracts do you typically have with your clients? There's several different kinds. There's cost plus, there's fixed contract, and time and material contracts. What are the differences and which works better in your opinion?
Well, I think you don't hear as much about cost plus anymore. See, people still do it, but we really focus on the experience. And part of a fixed cost contract is it's almost like set it and forget about it mentality, is that, you know, it's one less thing they're thinking about. So, you know, with a cost plus, they're always, you know, every week they're getting numbers and amounts, and it's overwhelming. And so building a house in itself is overwhelming. So I think that just creates a whole negative experience. And so that is probably one of the number one reasons that we don't do that, because it the goal is to make it an enjoyable experience and fun. And so, you know, it is stressful and it's difficult sometimes, but our job is to make it not that way. And so I think that those other types of contracts make just one more element in the process difficult. So you know, that's why the set and forget about it is kind of a good way to do fixed contracts, and that way you're focusing on the build, you're focusing on the selections and the excitement.
And if what do you say to about some builders who might they might create allowances as part of the bid or the initial proposal to the homeowners, where maybe the allowances are less than what's going to actually be installed in the house, and the homeowner has to come out of pocket because their lighting allowance is less than what's adequately needed for their needs.
Yeah, I think you just mentioned probably the number one thing that people talk about, and I think it's an easy thing to address. And what we do is we, as we're finishing the plans and we start talking about fit and finishes and the contract and the specs, we actually go through each area, like we said before, and look at really what are you wanting to do, what style, what we would look at colors, design. And so it's almost like you're pre-selecting, but it's to get a really good fine-tuned idea of what how far you want to take your features. So by doing that, it really gives us a good feel for that number that we need to put in there versus just assigning it to what we think that the client would want, which is not, you know, that's not the way to do it. And that's what a lot of builders will do. So to do it the other way and kind of backing into it and saying, you know, listening to the client and saying, what are you expecting? What are you looking for? What's your style? What do you lean towards? I think that helps us really, really get a good number and an accurate or more accurate contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And having that fixed contract, it's a more predictable process. You're able to, when you go to the bank to get a loan, you're telling them an exact amount that you're looking for. And I could definitely see how that would be less stress to as the process is unfolding, to not feel like the process is, the spending is sort of out of control, which that's obviously a natural feeling already with someone
right.
who is in the middle of building a house. But
right.
if you know the money's all accounted for and it's part of the loan, then hey, that's you knew that going into the whole process, and that's got to be something that provides a little ease on everyone's minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other area that we focus on through the build, we use a software called Builder Trend. And Builder Trend tracks all of your selections, and we go through an approval process, and it's all listed on there. So you're actually reselecting everything or changing things before it goes into the home. And one most important area in that software is if there are changes, it is uploaded there. Pictures, explanations, and it's approved before you do it. So again, one of the horror stories you hear about are changes being made just by shaking a hand or an email and numbers discussed, and at the very end you know someone says you owe $250,000 in extras. So that doesn't go over well, and we've all heard those stories. So doing it this way, along the way, the customer sees exactly what they're doing. They're approving it online, which is a legal document, then that way everyone is well aware of what it entails, what the expectation is, and that way it's always adding that and tallying it up. Mm-hmm. So we have some clients that, you know, have very little, and we have some that say, I just want to change it. It's, you know, my decision to spend more. So when that happens, it's nice to have it all documented there.
Right. We're almost out of time, but I did want to ask you, and you've already touched on this in a number of ways, but how important is communication with the homeowner during the build process, and how does Jackson Built Custom Homes stay in touch, especially with out of town folks that are building maybe a second home or will be moving to Charleston, but they live out of town now?
We do a lot of out of town builds, and so we use that Builder Trend software. That's number one, where we're able to take pictures every day and they can see an active calendar that everything is happening, and as well as pictures. And two, we try to talk to them as much as possible, either email or phone. But, you know, we encourage our clients, if they are in town, to come by as much as possible. You hear stories of how discouraging people from showing up on site. You know, it's an exciting time. Again, it's, you know, the single biggest investment most people do. And so we want them to have a good time, and we want them to come out, and we want them to look. And we also want them to, you know, if they see something that they possibly want to change, or if we mention something that, hey, would this be better if this door was moved? We don't mind stopping the process. I think there are lots of folks in the industry that will just say, hey, don't mention anything, just keep going. You know, it's our job to do the best house possible. So if we see something, or if they do, you know, absolutely, we want to look at it. We're in the room, and we feel it needs something different, then we absolutely want to look into that as an option. So, but constant communication is important, whether they're out of town or in town. It's less stressful for folks out of town, I think, because they're not here every moment. But, you know, we try to keep them with pictures and emails and phone calls as much as possible. But constant communication is important. I think most of us talk to our homeowners daily, you know, about certain things, whether it's email or phone. So it's extremely important. And it's also important to remember that, you know, a lot of these folks are executives, or they were executives and retired. And so a lot of them are doing other things during the day, and the evening is their time to decompress. And then that's when they have questions. So we try to be as available as we can, because that's, you know, sometimes the time that people want to talk and not think about work or something else. So being available is extremely important.
Well, how can folks get more information about Jackson Built Custom Homes?
Absolutely. They're welcome to call us, jacksonbuiltcustomhomes.com. And we also have the email address on there, info@jacksonbuilthomes.com. That email goes directly to me, Richard Jackson. So we're happy to talk to them over email or by phone, whichever is easier for them. So,
and you've got a great website, Jackson Built. Homes.com, jacksonbuilthomes.com.
That is it.
Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with custom builder Richard Jackson with Jackson Built Custom Homes as part of our Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations podcast. Thanks so much, Richard.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now is John Shelton with Carolina Stain and Seal. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. John, take a moment and tell everybody about Carolina Stain and Seal.
Yeah, so we're a company based out of Somerville, but we service the Tri-County area. And what we specialize is taking fences. A lot of people with new construction homes, or even older, with porches, decks, docks, any outdoor wood structure, and really, you know, applying a stain. We have several different applications that we offer that's going to preserve the life expectancy of that structure, but at the same time, it really enhances the curb appeal of the home, and really serves two purposes. You know, a lot of people will call us to have something done like that for aesthetics, which looks amazing, but the sole purpose of doing it is really to protect and add life to these structures outdoors.
What structures outdoors does Carolina Stain and Seal typically work on?
Well, I'll be honest, a large percentage of our business is fences. We work hand-in-hand with several fence companies throughout the Charleston and Tri-County area. Getting the fence, you know, after your fence, the first major expense for a homeowner with a new home is typically a fence. And when they build the fence, we're using pressure-treated pine for the most part, and it looks great whenever it's built, but it doesn't take long for that to change. And, you know, they contact us, and we go ahead and come out, provide an estimate. We make sure that we spend, you know, all the time needed with the customer, educating them on different finishes, the life expectancy of each finish, and what they can expect, and go view samples and stuff like that. And then, you know, once we move forward with it, once the wood is dried out enough, and whenever I mean dried out, it's the pressure treatment within the wood, not like from rain and stuff. That's more of a surface moisture issue, which the sun takes care of for us pretty quickly. The pressure treatment on a new fence, it needs to be, you know, dried out and checked with a moisture meter to make sure we're at the right percentage rates. And then we schedule to go ahead and get the stain and seal applied to the fence. Fences are, you know, a large part of what we do, but we also do a lot of porches. And a lot of our stuff is new construction. However, we do a really good job at restoring older fences, porches as well.
Gotcha. And back to the fences for a second. If you have if you build a fence or have a new pressure treated wood fence built for you, about how long do you have to wait for that pressure treated wood to kind of cure?
Sure. Typically, this time of the year, a lot of people think that these fences and other structures dry out quicker in the summer because of the heat. When in actuality, the humidity in the air coupled with the heat, actually, it takes a little bit longer for fences to dry out. There's several components to a fence. You have 2x4s, 1x4s, you have the pickets, 6x6s. And typically the pickets and the smaller lumber is dried out within 2 weeks this time of year. But the problem is the 6x6 post or a 4x4 post, that could take upwards of 3 to 4 weeks to dry out. But it really is dictated by, you know, what time of the year it is. Like in January and February, when we have low to no humidity and the air is super dry, if we don't have rain for a while, things actually dry up much quicker in the fall and winter. So the turnaround time to get something stained and, you know, have it prepared for the application is actually, you know, a little sooner in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. So besides fences, what other outdoor structures does Carolina Stain and Steel work on?
Sure. Well, just about everything outdoors. I would say, you know, porches are a big deal for us. You know, we have a ton of porches in Charleston, and everybody has a porch. And we use decking boards, you know, to construct these porches, some of them. Some of them are, you know, exotic hardwoods, and some of them are tongue and groove pine. But no matter what the surface is, if it's outside and it's raw wood, then we can, you know, stain it, seal it, protect it. And we have literally 1,000 different combinations whenever it comes to finishes. So porches are huge. Decks are a big deal. A lot of times people will have a deck built, or they purchase a home where the deck has been neglected, and we can come out there and assess the project and provide an estimate, and we can make that deck look better than if it was a week old. And it'll look that way for a while. Docks is something else that we specialize in. We use water-based materials for docks, you know, on water and pretty much anything else you can think of outdoors, pergolas, any kind of structures like that. We've done several seawalls and retainer walls and planters as well.
Okay, good deal. Now, what would be the difference between a homeowner hiring Carolina Stain and Seal to seal, stain, coat a fence or an outdoor structure versus doing it themselves, buying a can of stain at the big box store and doing it themselves?
Sure. Well, that's a great question, and that's something that I deal with several times on a daily basis. It's important to note that whenever you go to a big box store and you purchase, let's talk about maybe a semi-transparent stain. So you're going to see the wood grain and stuff. Well, the difference is stains that we sell here in big box stores, they're good products, but the problem is our climate. If you have a product that's tested up north or in Ohio, it's not necessarily the best product for your fence here in South Carolina. We live in an extreme climate, especially in the summer months, and whenever the oils penetrate the wood, they use latex for color, and a lot of times that latex will lay on the front of the picket and the front, you know, the surface of the wood. Well, as that wood expands and contracts, that surface coat can expand and contract with it for so long. As the sun hits it and it gets hot, it'll get extremely brittle and it'll start to crack. And whenever it cracks, it allows moisture to come into the wood and push the surface treatment off. Now, the bad thing about that is everything that we put on has a shelf life. Everything that we use is going to fail. So it is something that you need to plan maintenance for. Some things are 2 years, and many other applications could be 5+ years. But if you use the wrong application in South Carolina, it's a lot more costly down the road when you do a maintenance coat to do it the correct way. Another thing that Carolina Stain & Seal does is we do a 2-year warranty on everything that we do. And just because we do a 2-year warranty doesn't mean that you're going to get 2 years and that's it. We have jobs, you know, projects out there that's been coated for 5 years and still look great. But it just really depends on the application and the aesthetic that you're after. And we've done a really good job of working with our partners throughout the country with the products that we use to make sure that we're educating the consumer and making sure they understand what they can expect from this product and the pros and cons of each.
We could probably consider you to be an expert in exterior wood. And although, you know, a fence board or a deck board, a piece of wood that's used tongue and groove on a porch or something like that, even though it's been cut and it's not technically living, it's still changing, and every piece of wood out there is going to continue to evolve or de-evolve, I guess, over time, right?
Sure, absolutely. Basically, when they harvest that tree to create whatever board that they're creating that we use on a daily basis, the day that tree is cut down, it starts to it's basically decomposing from that point forward. When that tree is alive, you know, with all trees, it depends on oils and everything to live. And even after the tree's been harvested and milled out, it still requires to, you know, it needs protection because it's extremely vulnerable. Now, after we put applications on, the wood still will expand, contract, deteriorate at some rate, you know, whether it's the bottom of a picket or, you know, the end of a decking board that's against the fascia of the home where it's vulnerable to moisture constantly. And there's nothing you can really do to prevent that. But what you can do is you can encapsulate the rest of the board and protect it. Now, there's two different styles of protection. You have a penetrant stain or sealer that will actually penetrate the wood, and typically it's with oils, and it locks the wood from within. So it won't allow water to penetrate the wood. Water and UV rays are what's going to make you get the most deterioration and discoloration of your structure. The other one is a surface protectant where, you know, although there's a penetrant with it, you're getting the bulk of your protection from the surface coat. And what that means is it's creating a barrier between the elements and the board. And it's important to put the right products on because specifically these types, aesthetically and the longevity, there's a lot of variations there. And you need to be made aware of what product's going on. Mm-hmm. Products that we use here in South Carolina may not be conducive, you know, in Alaska. But I can tell you that products that are sold in big box stores across the country, up north and Midwest, they're not always conducive to South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, and, you know, Southeast. So that's something to be aware of.
What are some of the brands of the stains that Carolina Stain and Seal uses?
Sure. We use, it depends on, you know, what the customer's after, but let's take oil-based, for instance. When we're using an oil-based stain, it's really going to highlight the grain and really show off the board and the structure of the grain. And it's aesthetically, it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning to look at. We use oil-based stains that we order from different parts of the country and have shipped directly to our shop that use transoxide pigments. And the biggest, you know, difference to that from what you might find in other stores is when the wood absorbs the oil from our stain, a transoxide pigment is going to be absorbed with it. So the color is taken into the grain of the board, and it's all in one application, which we call a flood coat. So we're basically forcing as much of that product into the wood as it can take. Now, the reason that's important is, like I was talking about earlier, if you use an oil-based stain that has a latex in it, then the oil penetrates the wood, but the latex stays out front on the, you know, surface. And that surface coat, which is your latex for color, that can only stand so much. And typically, within 2 years, it's failing. And the difference, you know, it's okay to fail, but the difference is whenever a latex product fails, it's much more labor intensive and much more expensive to prep that surface for a maintenance coat. Whereas our stains and seals that we use that are oil, you know, although it may fade over time, depending on what, you know, option you're going with, whenever it's time for a maintenance coat, it's as easy as making sure that the surface is clean and then reapplying with another flood coat.
Will you pressure wash a fence or whatever outdoor material you're working on?
It is very rare that we pressure wash a fence. If we go out there, you know, we have many, many customers that'll call us. They'll have a newer fence, you know, it's only 2 years old. And you're like, man, I should have done this earlier, but, you know, everything gets in the way, and I get it. I understand. So the fence is gray now. Structurally, the fence is great. But the fence is gray and just looks dingy. I know the common thing is for someone to go out there and pressure wash, but whenever you take, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 PSI and you put against a picket, you're really removing all the soft wood in between the grain. So in essence, you're accelerating the deterioration of that fence by years every time you pressure wash it. Now, I was guilty of that too many years ago. I thought that's how I did it. But whenever it comes to cleaning a fence properly, we use a sodium hypochlorite mix, and we go out there, and all that gray that you see on a fence is actually mold and algae spore within the grain. And once we apply our strippers to the fence at a very low pressure, we allow the strippers and the chemicals to do what they're supposed to do and to remove and kill all mold and algae spore, which pretty much instantly gives you a new fence.
Mm-hmm. What about?
And we have videos on our Facebook page that we update daily, as well as on our website that will actually show the cleaning process, and people get a real kick out of that. It's pretty incredible what it does.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great before and after. What about, you mentioned exotic woods, is there any sort of remedy to like that gray color? It looks beautiful when it's first installed, but then, you know, 6 months later, it's gray.
Absolutely. Ipe decking is, it's beautiful and it's an amazing investment, but it lasts forever. And the thing with Ipe wood is whenever it's installed and it's a new wood, it is in need of oiling. Now, this is a completely different application. If we go to an Ipe, you know, a house that has a lot of Ipe decking or porches or whatnot, the wood is so dense that it can only take certain types of oils. It can only take certain types of stains. Whenever we come into we have a project coming up where they have an enclosure on the side of their house in Mount Pleasant that's all constructed at Ipe, and it's been there for 4 years and it's never been treated. So, it's really gray and kind of, it looks like an afterthought. That's an expensive wood to have there too. And it can really be something that showcases the home. So what we'll do is we'll go out there and clean it. We will sand the surface to get us a good raw wood there. And after we put it through our cleaning process, which is quite a bit different than fences and decks and porches with pine, after we put it through the cleaning process, we'll come back and apply a special hardwoods oil that we use. Now, whenever it's completed, it's absolutely stunning. It looks amazing. But with Ipe and hardwoods, they're so dense that, again, that's something that you need to make sure that you plan to do an annual maintenance on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of things in your home. It has to be maintained to retain that aesthetic.
Gotcha.
And it's just, a lot of people would like to install it if they would, and they want that grayed weather look.
Yeah.
And that's one of the few woods where I guess you can get away with doing that. because it doesn't splinter as much, and you know, it's a super dense wood. But if you've never seen an Ipe deck that's stained, it'll rival the hardwood floors in your house. I promise, it's gorgeous.
Right. I was looking at your website, CarolinaStainAndSeal.com, and talk about that you're now offering pre-stained fences. Do you folks build fences or just provide the material?
Absolutely. We are actually really excited about this. We have done a couple throughout the Lowcountry. We have a couple more scheduled to do that. We have partnered with several fence companies, CharlestonFence.com, Charleston Fence LLC, and B&B Fencing. And what we're doing is, you know, the Charleston market doesn't even know what a Western Red Cedar looks like, a cedar picket looks like. Cedar is naturally resistant to all elements outdoors, and it is more expensive. But, you know, whenever you look at the cost breakdown between getting a pressure-treated pine fence built and then the total investment of having it stained, when you look at that total investment and you compare it to a pre-stained cedar option, you're getting a superior fence with a superior finish at a fraction more. And it just makes perfect common sense. But a little bit about that process. We are a little bit, you know, out from actually getting this scaled up to where we want to be. So we're being a little bit more strategic right now as to these projects. So it takes a lot more planning and everything involved. However, the premise of the project is basically what we're going to do is you'll be able to, you know, talk with your builder about what fence style you want, what construction style, and really come up with a good plan. And you'll have the option to have a cedar fence that is pre-stained. And what that means is we work with the builders, and he gets your material package. We receive the material package. We put it through a drying process. And once everything is dried out, and we do a consultation with the homeowner as well to go over colors and protections, we will pre-stain all of this material through equipment that we've built ourselves. And then we put it back through a drying process, and it is delivered to the site. So as the builder is building it, that fence is pretty much 100% complete and was never exposed to the elements whenever it's done.
Very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Carolina Stain and Seal?
I'm sorry?
Where can folks get more information about Carolina Stain and Seal?
Sure, yeah. Our website is a good place to go, www.carolinastainandseal.com. But our Facebook page, you know, we really are active on social media, Instagram, Facebook, even on Google. Facebook is updated pretty much daily. We do a lot of live videos of different projects. We do a ton of photos. And it's important to have that, because if you have a fence built and you're like, man, I'm not sure about the color. I don't know if I want to go dark. I don't know if I want to go light. You go to that Facebook page, and anything that you've thought of is going to be there. We've done it for somebody. And it's very rare that we have, although it does happen, that we have a request for a color or an application that we haven't already done.
Excellent.
So that's a great place to go. And, you know, Carolina Stain Seal on Facebook. It should show Mount Pleasant, Somerville.
All right. Good deal. Well, we have been talking with John Shelton with Carolina Stain and Seal. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.